Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. In 1974, a Scottish soul and funk group put out a single that today has over 91 million streams on Spotify alone. That song and its unmistakable introduction is Average White Band's Pick Up the Pieces. But Average White Band's reach stretches far beyond its own streams. Its music has been sampled by hip-hop artists for decades and set a mood in many movies and TV shows. After 50 years as an active touring group, Average White Band is playing its final concert ever this Friday night. The band will be forever connected to St. Louis because that farewell show will take place at Harris Stowe State University. Its STL connection will also live on through saxophonist Fred Vigder, who is now a proud St. Louisan and an almost three decades long member of Average White Band. How did St. Louis luck up as host of the band's final concert? And what's it been like to play with a group that's had such longevity and lasting impact on music? Here to talk about that is Fred Vigder himself. Fred, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So, Fred, it's been nearly 20 years since Average White Band last performed in St. Louis. And you all have been all over the place in those years. How did St. Louis end up being the place for the band's final show?
Total serendipity. I've moved to St. Louis 2 years ago and have been trying to get a promoter to bring the band to St. Louis and trying to get work it out to have us play here. And our final show was actually supposed to be last week in Chandler, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And about, 2-3 months ago, we got a call that there was a promoter in town that wanted to have the band. And it just so happened to be after what was supposed to be our final gig.
Okay.
And I kind of lobbied very hard for it because since I've moved here, whenever anybody finds out what I do, they all want to know when we're playing. Because we haven't been here in 20 years.
Right, right.
The first time that I played in St. Louis with Average White Band was 1996 at Mississippi Nights, which was interesting because one of my roommates after college was a bass player named Al Caldwell, who was from St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And he used to always talk about this club that he had a steady gig at with the Ralph Butler Band, I think like on Tuesday nights, and it was Mississippi Nights.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally got to play here, like I said, in 1996.
And what does it feel like, how is it for you now personally to finish with the band as the sole St. Louisan among the group to have that final concert here?
Other people may differ, but I am very excited about it. The St. Louis has really been a great change for myself and my wife. Actually, we've been living in Atlanta for 20 years, mm-hmm. and we never really had much of a community there. And since moving here, it's been amazing. The community supports the arts so much more than what I'm used to. And even our neighbors, there's probably, maybe 5 or 6 couples that are buying tickets for the show. That would never happen to us in where we were living in Atlanta.
Okay.
So it's going to be really, my entire family is going to be there. It's a big deal for them.
Right.
For me, it's just the end of a job, pretty much,
okay.
You know?
Well, and speaking of neighbors, this is something that has run through your history with the band. And you've been with Average White Band since 1996, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's 28 years, and that's over half the time the band has been active. So take us back to when you joined, Fred. How did that happen?
Well, I've been a fan since the band first came out. When I was in high school, I went to a pretty racially diverse high school, and I was the only, I played in an R&B band where I was the only white kid. Mm-hmm. And there were two brothers and a father, the Dudleys. And we used to rehearse, this was when I was in high school, we used to rehearse at their house. And one day we were at rehearsal, and the father came in, Bob came in, and he said, we're gonna learn this tune. And he handed me the White Album, the Average White Band White Album, which I'd never heard before. And we were all kind of shocked when we turned it over. Because, you know, on the first record, there's no picture on the front of the band, which is probably one of the reasons why it became so successful.
Right.
Because nobody knew that they were a bunch of white guys from Scotland.
Sure.
So I forgot your question. Were asking me about Neighbors.
Yes.
Right. So anyway, I've been a huge fan ever since, and got to see the band live a couple times before joining. And my neighbor when I lived in Norwalk, Connecticut, which is where I grew up, was Roger Ball, who is one of the two saxophonists with Average White Band. He's the guy that wrote Pick Up the Pieces, essentially. Mm-hmm. I wrote the melody to Pick Up the Pieces. Mm-hmm. So we got to know each other because we were neighbors. And we would end up on gigs occasionally together, and we became friends. And then when the band was making one of their albums, he recommended me for a recording session with I had a horn section at the time. So he recommended me to go in and play on the horn section. Little known to me, he was ready to retire. He basically said that touring had become an inconsequential portion of his income, which is someplace we'd all like to be, actually.
Sure, right.
Because he was making so much money off of, you know, the rights to Pick Up the Pieces because it'd been in movies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he was having some health issues, and he decided he was going to call it quits.
Yeah.
And because they liked the way I performed in the session, there was no competition. I knew two of the guys in the band. They hired me pretty much on the spot after the session. They were like, do you have a passport? We're going to the UK and Europe for whatever it was, 4 or 5 weeks. So I had one rehearsal, no audition. And, you know, can you play keyboards? Well, I guess I'm going to have to get that together pretty soon, pretty quickly. And, you know, I got thrown into it pretty quickly. And that was our first tour was the UK.
Yeah. Was it an immediate yes for you? Or, I mean, did you?
Yeah. See, I had given up. I had gone back to college. I'd gotten a scholarship to go back to college to get my education degree, and was ready to become a music teacher, and I was one semester away from student teaching when they offered me this, and it was pretty much a no-brainer because it's always been a band that I loved, and I always wanted to do, you know, something at that level with a band that I, you know, that I grew up with.
Yeah.
So it was, it was absolutely a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. Now, Average White Band is a band that everyone knows, even if they think they don't. And your music is in many soundtracks, as we said earlier, for TV and film. And Average White Band is one of the most sampled bands in hip-hop. Now, to put that in sound form, here's a couple of the band's originals followed by songs that sampled them. Let's start with Average White Band's 1982 track, You Wanna Belong, and a 2023 release by Concrete Boys Cypher with Lil Yachty.
Belong, there's no told me that he wanted abortion. Imagine the loss of the fortune. That thought of that had me scorching. The thought of my mama going 9 to 5 because of an unready boyfriend. These niggas be talking about stepping at something I just don't recall. Just like the thought of some horse skin. I woke up and felt like I didn't want to share, and I'm taking back all of the portions. I wish I had time.
Now, there's another Average White Band song, Love Your Life, which was released in 1976, and A Tribe Called Quest's Check the Rhyme, yep, which came out in 1991, samples that. And for this last set, we're going to flip the order here a little bit in a way that reflects, I think, the way that hip-hop fans in particular come to Average White Band's music. This is Eric B. and Rakim's 1988 track, Microphone Fiend, followed by Average White Band's Schoolboy Crush.
I was a fiend. Before I became a teen, I melted microphones instead of cones of ice cream. Music orientated, so when hip hop was originated, fitted like pieces of puzzles, complicated. Cause I grab the mic and try to say yes, y'all. They try to take it and say that I'm too small. Cool.
So Fred, that Schoolboy Crush sample is a very popular one in hip hop.
It is indeed. It is. And we, years ago, probably, I'm going to say early 2000s or late 90s, we played the Essence Festival in New Orleans. The first time that we got to play the Essence Festival. And Dougie Fresh came up and did Microphone Fiend with us, which was great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to have so many artists sampling Average White Band's work, what does that mean to you and to the band?
Well, aside from the financial remuneration, there is that, of course. It has really brought our music to a much younger audience. We get, you know, people coming to shows all the time, kids. That, you know, that was their portal, that was their entryway to Average White Band. Either that or their parents or their grandparents were listening to it around the house.
And this reminds me of when I would hear like break albums with turntablism and the way that, you know, we find our way back to the originals. And in many cases, I actually enjoy the originals more than sometimes the songs that have sampled them. Do you have any personal favorites among the songs or artists who've sampled Average White Band's work?
The one you just played, Microphone Fiend, is probably my favorite, you know. And it's, I think that's the biggest one of all. The other one would probably be Tribe Called Quest, the Love Your Life. We don't ever play that particular song. We play Schoolboy Crush all the time. We cannot get away, especially when we play for African-American audiences. Mm-hmm. We cannot. The entire audience sings along with that song.
Yeah.
But Love Your Life, we've never played, live. I saw Eric, Molly Duncan and Roger Ball, who were the saxophone players with Average White Band, did perform it on David Letterman with Eric B. Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
But that's the only time I've ever seen it live.
Right. Well, that's one for people to check out maybe
on
YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why haven't you all performed that one?
I think it has to do with, one reason is because there are actually two basses in that song. We have two bass players in the band, but they switch off.
Mm-hmm.
Like at one point, Alan is the main bass player and the lead vocalist, Alan Gorey. And he'll play most of the tunes on bass. And then a couple times where there's two guitar tunes, like Schoolboy Crush or Cut the Cake or Won't You Be Mine, any of those songs, we have somebody else who plays bass, who normally plays keyboards, but he's also a really good bass player.
Mm-hmm.
So we have alternating, but we never had it both at the same time. And I'm guessing that has something to do with it. But the band has never, even before my time, I don't think has ever played that song live.
Oh, okay. So is this one maybe will be played?
I don't think so.
No, okay.
No, I don't think so. It's there's so many things that go into why we play a song we play. It could be that it just doesn't go over live as well as it does on recording or whatever. And the other thing is we have so many things we have to play at a given show that we have to, we have to pick and choose what it is we're going to play because there's some songs we just can't get away without. Mm-hmm. Performing.
Right. You talked about audiences earlier. What do you think it is about the St. Louis audience that will make it sort of a special audience for the last show?
I'm going to assume it's probably one reason is because it is the last show. So everybody's really excited about that on both ends. Our strongest audiences are where there's a big African American population. We can't deny that. We played a show at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C. last week, and a couple weeks ago, and the walk up, people that were buying tickets at the last minute was unbelievable. One of our favorite gigs ever is another club in Washington, D.C. called the Birchmere. We sell out two nights. We played three nights this year. And everybody, it's a thing where people buy tickets as soon as they go on sale, and everybody is singing along to every song. And there's nothing that is one of our favorite. But I'll give you one example.
Yeah, of course.
When I first started with the band, we toured Europe. My first gig with the band was at the Lake and Heath Air Force Base, and then we just went around. We played a bunch of clubs in England, and we played some gigs in Holland, a couple festivals. And I was like, wow, this is really great. We're playing these songs and everybody loves them and everybody knows what we... And then we came home and our first gig was at the House of Blues in New Orleans. And it was night and day.
Oh.
I mean, our audiences, the African American audience is such a huge part of our, they're the ones that broke these records for us. They've always been on our side. And I'm hoping that, they turn out in St. Louis too. That's what we're hoping for.
And very quickly, this Friday's show, it will be captured on film.
Yes.
What does that add to what you and your fellow band members will be experiencing? And what might that mean for fans that night?
Well, for us, I can say nerves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, because, we've done recordings. We've done a lot of live recordings and stuff. But we can't redo this one because it's the last gig. So we have to get it right.
Well, here's to getting it right that night. Fred Victor is saxophonist for the funk and R&B group Average White Band. Fred, this was so much fun. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a great time.
Average White Band will play their final show this Friday, December 13th, at the Henry Givens Auditorium at Harris Stow State University. Limited tickets are available on their website. That's averagewhiteband.com.
This episode was produced by Maya Northleaf.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.